Why do some people in society have an issue with people really being who they are? Why is it that someone that's an introvert is told to be something that they're not, or they feel the pressure of being something that they're not? On the flip side of that, there are even some extroverts that can feel a pressure to not be what they are and to fit a mold of something else as well. Why does society do this? That's what we're going to be talking about today on The Introvert Experience. What's up, everybody? My name is Terrence Lee, aka The Introvert Leader. Welcome to The Introvert Experience, and gonna have an interesting conversation today. And it's actually something that sparked in my head just having an observation of my kids, my son and my daughter. I observed something with them here over the weekend that I just thought was really interesting, and it got my mind going into just introvert and extrovert dynamics and the way that we're just so different in the way that we do things. And then that then got me thinking about societal acceptance and what society expects from an introvert and from an extrovert and how all of that just comes into play. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And similar to the past few episodes here, since the return of the podcast, it's just going to be just rant style. I'm just going to be talking about this. I've got no show notes prepped or anything like that. I do have an interesting article pulled up here to the side that I'm going to reference from the University of Toronto. I think it's a pretty interesting article. But first, I want to start off talking about my kids. So my son, Amari, is 8 years old, and my daughter, Amina, is 6. And they are very different in a lot of ways. They're similar in some ways as well, but very different in certain circumstances. So this past weekend, there was a situation where they had a little back and forth. If you're listening to this and you've got a brother or a sister or sibling, you probably coming up had some back and forths, had some disagreements, had some, you know, something, right? If you didn't, that's pretty rare. It does happen, but that's rare. So they were in the middle of a little disagreement, just things that happen, and we sent them to their room. You know, we said, all right, it's time for you all to go. Like, Amari, you need to go to your room. Amina, you need to go to yours. Like, you all just need to separate right now. That's what you all need to do. You need to think about how you can handle the situation better. You know, all the parenting stuff, right? So we do this. And I guess it's happened before, but for whatever reason, I just didn't really notice it. But for some reason on this day, it was just totally clear. When we said that, our son is like, okay. And he just went right up to his room and closed the door. And, you know, we looked on the camera and he was sitting there reading books and he's good. Our daughter acted like it was the end of the world. Like, she literally was like, what, in the room by myself? Like, go in the room by myself? Like, well, can someone come in the room? Like, what do you mean? Like, it was a fight, right? And she ends up, you know, going up in her room. She is bawling, crying, by the way, walking up to this room to be by herself. She closes the door, and within like 30 seconds, she opens the door again. And she's like, well, can somebody come in the room? Like, do I have to be by myself? Like, it's this whole thing. And what I realized in that moment, which, you know, I think we already knew this, me and my wife, about our kids anyway, but our son is one of those people that he can be by himself and he is cool. Like, if he's got a book, if he's got some paper where he can write, he can draw something, he's a lot like me in that way. I used to love drawing, used to love writing. He's good. But our daughter, she does not want to be alone. She does not want to not be around people. And so he is the prototypical introvert. She is the prototypical extrovert. And it's interesting because I think in society, a lot of times the introvert is encouraged or made to feel like they should be more of the extrovert. And on the flip side of that as well, there are times where the extrovert can be made to feel that they should maybe calm things down, tone things down, be more of the introvert. And it's been an interesting dynamic with our kids because with Amari, there have been situations where, for example, around some of his friends or some of his cousins, maybe they're louder or maybe they're more the center of attention in certain situations, and certain relatives will try to get him to, you know, speak more, or like if the other cousin is saying something in front of the family, they'll want Amari to do it. And like, he is not feeling it. Like, he don't want to do it, you know? And I get that. And my wife gets that. And so we protect him, and we don't put him in situations to do that if he does not feel like it, because we understand that's him. Now, our daughter, no one has to ask her anything. Like, if there's a crowd or if there's an opportunity to say something in front of people, she's going to run in front and do it. She's going to talk to strangers in the store. She's going to, like, that's just her. She is a super outgoing extrovert. Like, and both of them are okay. And that's the thing. Both of them are okay. I think the problem comes in when someone looks at a kid like my son and they think, oh, well, that kid is shy, or that kid is quiet. They need to, you know, they need to liven up. They need to be more outgoing. And someone might look at my daughter and they might say, oh my God, like, she is just on 10. Like, she is just, she needs to relax sometimes. Like, she talks so much. She, you know, all of these things. And I will be honest, I think a lot of times as introverts, where we have to be careful is that we need to be careful with the way we view extroverts as well. See, there's a lot of attention with my brand that I put on the strengths of introverts, because I feel society does so much where society focuses on what they deem to be negatives of introversion or things introverts need to change. So I spend a lot of time focusing on the strengths of introverts and what we really are and we can bring to the table. But on the flip side of that, we have to be careful, because the same way, we shouldn't judge extroverts or judge them or expect them to be different or change who they are, right? And my daughter has made me realize that. I'll be honest, there are some times where we're out somewhere and just she'll walk up to a complete stranger, or like, we'll, you know, of course we're around, but like if there's just some random person, she's just like, hey, and says it like super loud, and she's waving and she's like, hey, how are you doing? And we're like, yo, like, we don't know these people. But for her, that's what she does. Like, that's her, you know, she's just a very outgoing person. She loves people, and that's okay. So the point of where I'm going here is, as people, we just need to accept each other. We just need to accept each other. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what's very important. Like, we can't be walking around judging the way that a person is because it's not what we are, right? I mean, that's just not fair, and I don't think that that's right.
How do introverts lead in an extroverted world? A world where the loudest voices and the most social people seem to thrive. Well, there's a secret that any introvert can turn into a superpower. That secret is calmness. To learn how to transform your leadership as an introvert, download The Calm Effect today.
I did want to highlight a study that I found interesting. So this is by the University of Toronto. And the title of this article is Extroverts Enjoy 4 Key Advantages According to a new UTSC Study, right? And so I'm just going to scroll down here. And it's talking about workplace dynamics. And it said that the 4 distinct advantages that extroverts have in the workplace are motivational, emotional, interpersonal, and performance related. And this study was based on, looks like they had about 165 variables in the study, and it was published in the Journal of Applied Psychology. So anyway, I always find these studies interesting, right? And the dynamics of them. So somebody would read an article like this, and they would take this to mean, okay, so extroverts are more motivated in the workplace. They're more emotionally intelligent, they have better interpersonal skills, and they have better performance in the workplace based on this study. That's what a lot of people would take this study to mean. And so from there, somebody would assume, okay, well, if I want to be successful in the workplace, I need to be more of an extrovert. And this is part of the problem that I have with these sort of studies and the way that someone would infer certain things from that, right? So let's just attack this real quick. So motivated. So what is motivation? Does somebody have to be loud? And does somebody have to be outgoing? And does somebody have to be an extrovert to be a motivated person? If somebody is more laid back and more reserved, does that mean they're not motivated? Does that mean that they don't want to be successful or they don't care about their career or their business because they're not loud? I'm not buying that. Myself, so many other introverts that I know, people that I've met on social media, with introvert brands, people that I know just in the workspace where I work in defense that are introverts, like people in leadership that I've been mentored by that are introverts. There are so many examples of motivated introverts. So to say that extroverts are more motivated, I don't get that. The next one, emotional. I would highly disagree with that one because emotional intelligence is actually something that a lot of introverts have as a strength. Oftentimes we are deep listeners and deep thinkers, and because we're so in tune with what people are saying, because we're not doing all the talking, we're listening, a lot of times we end up being more emotionally intelligent. So I found that kind of interesting as well. They also say that extroverts in the workplace have better interpersonal skills and performance related. Interpersonal, I kind of view that very similar with emotional intelligence, right? The ability to relate to somebody, the ability to connect, to show empathy, to understand where someone's coming from. I don't see that as an advantage for an extrovert, right? And then performance related, is just, you know, the way that someone performs at work. So, you know, again, here's the thing. Are there some advantages in certain areas that extroverts have? Of course, I'm sure there are. Are there advantages for introverts? Of course. Like, there are advantages and there are certain traits all along the spectrum of personality for both types. I think the problem is, and where articles like this get dangerous, is again, somebody will read that and they'll assume, oh, okay, so this means that because extroverts have these advantages, that I need to be more of an extrovert. Or an extrovert will read it and they'll say, oh, okay, so if someone does not possess these things, or if someone is more laid back and they're not like me, then I have an advantage over them and they need to be like me, right? Like, it's just this warped way of thinking. And I think we really need to accept people for who they are. Whoever someone is, I accept it. Now, I'm not going to lie. It took some time because some of my extroverted fam, and I know I've got some extroverted listeners, and I love y'all, just like I love my introvert fam, right? We're all family. Some people can be a little extra. Some people can, you know, and it can be a lot, right? Because sometimes the introvert, like, we might just want to have a shorter conversation, or we might be emotionally drained from the whole day and now we're at the end of the day and somebody comes with like a long conversation that maybe we're not ready to have, or they might bring someone new around that we don't know. Like, there's all kinds of scenarios that can happen, you know. But I'm learning to accept people for who they are. I am. A lot of my friends are extroverted. A lot of my family members are extroverted. They're all people that I love. And I've accepted them, and I know that they accept me. So it's all good, you know? And that's what we have to do. We just have to get out of this frame of mind as a society where people need to be something other than what they are. And that goes on the introvert side and the extrovert side. I don't think that we should do it to each other. As an introvert, I don't think I should look at an extrovert and expect them to change the same way that they shouldn't expect me to change and to try to be like them. All right. So hopefully you found this episode to be entertaining. I did want to highlight just some research there. And, you know, I mean, I'll look a little more into the article. I'd be curious who they studied in particular and where their variables came from. A lot of times these studies, it may be a little one-sided, or maybe the numbers come from just a box of individuals and they don't consider a wider spectrum. So it'll be interesting. I'll dig into it a little bit more, but I just want to leave you with the thought that it's okay to be you. Like, be you, regardless if it's introvert, extrovert, ambivert, in the middle, whatever you are, just be you and accept other people for being who they are, right? As long as we're doing that, then I think as a society, we're going to get better. We're going to get better. And it just makes for a much more open dynamic when none of us are trying to tiptoe around, be something that we're not, or feeling pressure to be somebody else, all right? So with that said, hope you enjoyed the episode. And as always, remember, there's only one you and there's only one life. So make it count. God bless.